Hellman & Company, 102.5, 106.3, the game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. We are live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game National Studios and presented by the Southern Bank of Tennessee. We are live at First Horizon Park where the Sounds take on the Gwinnett Stripers, the AAA affiliate of the Braves, 6:35 first pitch today. So I did this last week when I got all mad about entitlement in sports and teams that win a little bit but don't win the whole championship and then blow their operation up and just how stupid I think some of that is. And people said, you know, hey, we like a nice little Jared Stillman sports lecture. I'm sure other people didn't like it. And I don't know if this is going to become an every Thursday thing or not, but Reed, it's time for another lecture. I got to get it off my chest.
I'll be taking notes.
Okay. There is going to be, and there already has been, a lot of talk about the NBA Finals TV ratings with two small market teams, small market Indiana and small market OKC. And about, oh, the ratings are going to be so low. Oh, it's so boring with the teams that are in there. And let me say this. I expect that there will be bad TV ratings. And I expect that people will bemoan the fact that the Lakers aren't in it, or that New York's not in it, or that Boston's not in it. But let me just ask this question. Why do we care about this? Why does it matter to you that small market Indiana is taking on small market OKC? And again, I think when we talk about small markets, what we're really saying, forget about the market size. What we're really saying is not popular Indiana versus not popular OKC. Because Pittsburgh is a small market, and yet the Steelers draw pretty well. South Bend, Indiana, small market, Notre Dame does okay. So it's really just, well, you know, they're not popular franchises. Who cares? If you like basketball and you want to see who the best of the best is, then why do you care if other people other than you watch the games? Why do you care? Oh, well, a lot of people aren't going to watch basketball tonight. Okay, are you going to watch basketball? Do you want to watch basketball? Do you not want to watch basketball? And the other thing is, where did the infatuation with big markets come from? When did this start? Like in the 1980s, for instance, did people sit there and say, oh no, Detroit and the Pistons beat the Celtics. Oh God, Boston. Oh God, Boston didn't make it. I don't think so. Like, do you sit there and say, hey, I'm only going to watch if New York is in there? Like, again, I don't care who ends up making it to the college football playoff. I'm going to watch the championship game. Arizona State. Again, we're talking about popular teams here. And the college football playoff was littered with Tennessee and Ohio State and Texas and Notre Dame. But let me say this. Arizona State, Texas played a great game. I watched it. I was in. I forget who the Arizona State quarterback is. It doesn't matter. It was a good game. Did we have a problem? You people that are all mad about market size in the NBA, did you have a problem with Michael Jordan playing Utah because Utah was a small market? Or are you like me and you look back on that when I was 8, 9 years old watching Jordan play at the end and I remember how jazzed up I remember swimming at the pool at my grandmother's condo the night before game 6 when Jordan held his follow through. And I remember it was like 2 in the afternoon. It was June. I'm 9 years old. I'm in the pool like any other 9-year old. And I'm sitting there telling my grandmother, man, I can't wait for the basketball game tonight. Dad didn't have a problem with it because it was Utah. Did anybody have a problem when San Antonio would make it to the finals with Duncan and they play LeBron? And speaking of LeBron, did anybody have a problem with LeBron at Cleveland? So, I don't know where this all started. I have an idea. My theory is that this all started because I think the national media kind of stinks. I think the national sports media is really more political than it is meritocracy. I don't think that they go and say, let's go get the best guys across the country and stick them on TV anymore. I think it's, let's get the guys that kiss the boss's ass. And that's how you end up with Max Kellerman on television instead of people that are good. And what's happened is, unlike the old days, you know, Around the Horn just went away. I thought Around the Horn was a perfect, you know, sports media show for 25 years where there were opinions, but they were informed opinions. They talked all the sports, including hockey and baseball and everything else, and it's going to go away, and they're going to replace it with a show that talks, you know, NBA and only the three teams in the NBA and football. You know, the days of Jim Rome doing things the Jim Rome way, those days are over. So what's happened now is people listen to local sports radio. People that live in New York and live in L.A. and live in Chicago, they listen to the local sports radio because the national guys, for the most part, I think kind of stink. And that's why you can't turn on the TV and go 5 minutes without hearing talk about the Knicks coaching search, because everybody who works at ESPN and the executives at ESPN all live in New York. So they think because they care about the Knicks, because they live in New York, that everybody else around the country cares about New York and the New York Knicks. And I'm here to tell you, the people in St. Louis, Missouri, do not care about the New York Knicks coaching search. So they think everybody wants to talk Knicks because they want to talk Knicks, and I just don't think that's the case. Now, I'm not excusing the NBA. Because the NBA has problems. The NBA stars are obnoxious with load management and some of the fights they pick, you know, Draymond Green and some of his stuff, it's obnoxious. You know, Tyrese Halliburton's dad's out there on the court. Ja Morant, you know, is getting suspended and then he's out there doing gun celebrations. Like, the NBA's got problems. TV ratings are not a problem that should affect a basketball fan or a sports fan from watching the game. And when it comes to, again, this idea that it's not a large market team or it's not a popular team, I have to ask, when did we start caring about this? Like, when did this become a thing that you cared about? When did it matter to you that it was the New York Knicks and not the Indiana Pacers who beat the New York Knicks who belong in the NBA Finals? Now, I do not want to confuse this with, I'm not sure how much I care about the NBA Finals, but at the same time, I'm not sure I would have cared about the NBA Finals much more even if New York was in it. And again, those are the problems with the NBA I think that need to be addressed. But the idea of two small market teams playing each other, and because they're two small market teams, oh, it's awful. Who cares? Give me a break. I think it's ridiculous. I think it's ridiculous if you decide not to watch the game because OKC and Indiana are small markets, but you would watch if it were the Knicks. And when it comes to the TV ratings, because they're going to be bad, how do the NBA's TV ratings affect you? How do they affect you? And the answer is they don't. So all the hubbub's going to be made tomorrow this time because that's when the ratings will come out about game one ratings. Lowest on record other than the COVID year since 2013. Something like that. Again, who cares? Either you want to watch it or you don't want to watch it. Am I going to watch it? I don't know. But at the same time, I know I'm not choosing whether or not to watch the game based upon whether or not the TV ratings are going to be good. I don't care what everybody else is doing. I'll do what I want to do. 615-737-1025, which is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Now, I do have a theory when it comes to the NBA. And again, it comes to the way that the national media approaches sports, specifically ESPN, that I want to get to. And we'll do that next on Top of Your Phone. 615-737-1025. It's Stillman and Company, live from First Horizon Park, 1025, 106 for the game.
It's one thing I really admire about the NFL. I mean, if we were going into a Super Bowl and it was Packers against Steelers, you guys would be celebrating that. Nobody would, those would be storied franchises. People wouldn't be talking about, you know, the fact that Pittsburgh is a small market. So we, in fact, you know, I'm happy whatever team ends up in the finals, but it's been intentional from our standpoint to create a system, a collective bargaining agreement that allows more teams to compete. And just by way of background, you know, we're going to have to go through a process of getting to the point where people are accustomed to tuning into the finals because it's the two teams that deserve to be right there, and it's the best basketball. Similar to, again, with the Super Bowl, if I asked somebody if they were going to watch the Super Bowl, they wouldn't say who's playing. It's a national holiday. And right now, that's nirvana.
That's, you know, the goal.
I'm not saying we're anywhere close to that yet. There's still, if the Knicks are in the finals, there's a segment of our fan base that's going to watch that may not watch if it's other teams. But my job is to get people to love and follow this game. And so that if you're a huge basketball fan, you should want to tune into the finals because that's the best basketball.
There you go. That was Adam Silver, the commissioner of the NBA on Fox Sports 1, talking about the two small market teams. And throw the NFL out of this, because the NFL will watch Cincinnati play the Rams and the Super Bowl, and neither team is very popular. We'll watch anybody play. It doesn't matter. You know, I heard Mike Greenberg do an interview a couple of years ago when he was asked about the choices that they have on ESPN, and he goes, take the least popular football team. He goes, Tennessee, Jacksonville. And a story surrounding Jacksonville or Tennessee is going to be a bigger deal than any story on any other sport. So take that aside. When it comes to basketball and the NBA final, I have a theory. And I have no way to prove this theory. I think Major League Baseball is more popular than the NBA. Forget about the NFL and forget about college football, because the NFL is number one and it's not close, and college football is number two and that is not close. So put those to the side. You know, again, when Adam Silver's like, if we had Pittsburgh versus Green Bay, everybody would be excited about it. And yeah, well, that's the NFL. Put that aside. You're not going to be the NFL. You're not going to compete with the NFL. Don't try to compete with the NFL. It's not going to happen. But I think everybody believes that the NBA is more popular than baseball. And I've been on this for a while, but now I feel like I really feel confident that baseball, Major League Baseball, is more popular than the NBA. And there's no way to prove this. For instance, we could take the championship ratings, we could take the World Series, and we could say the World Series is outperformed over the last 5 years, or the last 3 years, or whatever it is. The World Series has outperformed the NBA Finals by about 400,000 viewers a game, so baseball's more popular. But again, when doing that, we have to analyze the fact that the Yankees played the Dodgers, and so that's a big deal. But I just think baseball had some serious problems post-steroid era. They had a star problem in baseball. And I remember when I first started here in 2015, and God bless him, and I love George Plaster with all my heart, but there was sort of this, I remember the day of the All-Star game, George had a rant about people that were crapping on baseball, because baseball was just declining constantly. And his rant was, baseball is still a great game. And I think baseball looked at themselves in the mirror and said, we're making a ton of money, and we're, you know, still selling tickets. So who cares if all these young people don't care about us? But baseball has changed. They've put in a pitch clock. You don't go to the bullpen every 25 seconds. You can't throw over to first base every 5 minutes. You've got, there's certain rules, designated hitters. Nobody wants to watch the pitcher hit. And because of that, and the development of some stars, Ohtani, Aaron Judge, and some other guys, I think baseball's starting to maybe tread water or head in the right direction. I don't want to say, you know, baseball's on the ascent, because I don't think it is. The WNBA is on the ascent. And the WNBA is on the ascent because of one person. That's Caitlin Clark. But I think baseball is doing okay right now. The NBA, I think, is in serious trouble. And again, I think like baseball, it was kind of the arrogance of the sport and the money that they were making and the players themselves that have allowed this to happen. The moment for me where I feel like the NBA started to fall apart was when Kevin Durant decided to go to Golden State at the end of 2016. If you go back to those 2016 NBA Finals, that was LeBron versus Golden State 2.0. Remember the first time Kyrie Irving got hurt and Kevin Love got hurt, so it was LeBron and four other bums versus Golden State, and they got beaten in six games. The next year, Kyrie's healthy, Kevin Love's healthy, and that series averaged 20 million viewers. It went to seven games, and I mean, it was competitive basketball with so much on the line. But once Kevin Durant went to Golden State, it kind of ruined the rest of that era of basketball. We all knew who was going to win. The NBA had to give money back and had to lower the salary cap because they had to give money back to the TV partners because there weren't enough playoff games because Golden State was sweeping everybody. And so when Adam Silver talks about, you know, I want competitive teams and that's what the CBA, he's trying to keep Kevin Durant from ruining the sport again. I mean, I'll never forget in 2019 how it was more impactful as to what was going to happen after the season about who was going to go where as far as free agency was concerned than what was actually going on during the season. And since then, I feel like the NBA has yet to pick it back up. Again, we're talking about 20 million viewers a game for the NBA Finals in 2016. Last year, Boston, Dallas, these are not small markets, Boston and Dallas, 11 million viewers a game. That's losing half the audience. And I know, again, there's the faction out there that will say, well, the NBA went woke. That's what happened to the NBA. And I'm like, you know what? People really don't care that much. Like, yeah, people don't want to be told, but at the same time, like, it's not like when you watch the NBA that you can't. It's not like it's a political advertisement. I'm sorry, it's not. So if I go back 10 years, the World Series in baseball was averaging 14.5 million viewers. Last year, the World Series averaged 15 million viewers. So over the last 10 years, even though there are more options now, as far as streaming services and everything else to be able to watch whatever you want to watch, baseball has not really lost a lot of their audience. Basketball, meanwhile, has lost almost half of its audience. And again, I don't care what the TV ratings are when it comes to whether or not I'm going to watch the game. But again, this is just a theory that I have, and it may be proven incorrect. You know, Caroline and I were talking about this on Sirius earlier today, and I said, I believe that more people across the country believe that, or more people across the country would identify as a Major League Baseball fan over an NBA fan. Now, I think that, again, there are more people that, if you were to say, what's your favorite sport? More people would say NFL 1 and NBA might be 2. But if you were to take the NFL and college football out of it, you were to survey the entire country, and you were to say Major League Baseball or the NBA, in 2025, I think you're going to get more votes for Major League Baseball. That's just my theory. Again, there's no exact number here that would prove one or the other. I'm not going with All-Star Game ratings. Both sports All-Star Games stink. I'm not going with World Series ratings because some years you get a good matchup, some years you get a bad matchup. Same with the NBA Finals. And let's not forget either, the World Series competes with football. There is no football on tonight. But there's something that's wrong with the NBA. And I think that it's a lack of likable stars. Jordan, likable. WNBA's getting ratings. Why? Caitlin Clark, likable. That's just my theory, and I guess I'm sticking to it. 615-737-1025. We'll get to your phones on this if you want to weigh in. 615-737-1025. Plus, I do have one NBA final thought that I want to get off my chest, then we'll get to your phones. Stillman & Company, 1025, 106.3 The Game.
Tyrese Halliburton, it's well publicized at this point, named the most overrated player in the NBA by his peers in a poll that The Athletic did before the playoffs. And we've seen his run here and some of the shots that he's made, just some of the moments that he's had. It's been unbelievable. How do you kind of put into words the postseason that he's had and what that's done for him in terms of the way that he's viewed and kind of his star power moving forward here?
So you mean to tell me that all the people who voted, it was only like maybe like 13 players, to be perfectly honest. It wasn't like an overwhelming margin. But all the people who voted Tyrese Halliburton to be the most overrated player, all that meant was, I don't like Tyrese Halliburton busting my ass. I don't like his get down. I don't like the way that he moves. You think they feel, ah, man, you know what? He's a great player. Have you met NBA players? Have you met athletes? These dudes are prideful. These dudes are competitive as hell and haters and everything else, right? I think it's a natural human thing. But as far as Tyrese himself, so much of the conversation with him has been about his daddy doing the stuff that his daddy was out here doing and everything else. But you're looking at a player who, when you're talking about quote-unquote faces of the NBA and having, you know, characters with like substance and everything else and having a little texture, I think that's the part of it. The Reggie Miller choke thing, even though it's a little dated, people can kind of relate to it. And even if you don't like him, I think it's good for the NBA to have somebody who you have an opinion about.
There you go. That was Vincent Goodwill, Vinny Goodwill, on with Robbie and Joe this morning. Let me just say this. I don't know how much of the finals I'm going to watch. I don't know how much I care. I am rooting for Indiana. And I am rooting it for Indiana for one reason. Because Tyrese Halliburton was voted the most overrated player by the NBA players, and he has gone off and put a foot up everybody's ass in these NBA playoffs. He put a foot up Giannis and Milwaukee in the first round. He put a foot up Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland and Cleveland in the second round, and he put a foot up Jalen Brunson and the New York Knicks in the third round. Got that coach fired. So I'm just going to root for him to win the finals so that every time someone says, you didn't play the game, you don't know, I'm going to say the NBA players voted Tyrese Halliburton the most overrated player in the game, and he went and single-handedly took his team to the finals and won them if they win. So that's who I'm rooting for. I'm rooting for Indiana, kind of out of spite. Out of spite for these NBA players to stop lecturing me about everything, especially basketball. Let's go to your phone, 615-737-1025. Mike wants to weigh in. Okay, Mike said on the thing, see, this is what I hate. Because people, it feels like they want to go to war when it comes to talking about basketball. And then all of a sudden, it's like you try to pick them up and their phones don't work or whatever it may be. One texter into the text line says, I don't give a damn about what the national sports stations are talking about. Give me Tennessee sports all day. I wish you would cover the Grizzlies more. Now, I will say this about the Grizzlies. It's really hard for me to talk about it because nobody cares. And I'm sure there's a couple of you out there that care. But a couple years ago, before Ja Morant went Ja Morant, when Ja Morant was likable, I watched like two Grizzlies games. And I'm like, oh, my God, this guy's incredible. I'm like, this guy, it's just the athleticism, just the way that he moves his body, the way that he plays, the way that he, like, there is something special about this guy. And I remember there was one game where he had a crazy dunk and a crazy shot, and he had something like 60 points or 40 points and a triple-double, and I did the whole show being like, if this guy is the next Kobe, then I think people in Nashville will care. Crickets. Crickets on the phone lines. Crickets on the text line. I sit here today and say, Jeffrey Simmons tweeted the thumbs up emoji and we'll have loaded phones. So when you tell me like, oh man, I wish people talked more about the Grizzlies, I'm like, get more people to care about the Grizzlies. And I think John Morant, you know, doing what he's done has become a distraction for the team. And quite frankly, they haven't won enough in the playoffs. Basketball is a go-win-in-the-playoff sport. And whether that's fair or not, I think it bothers guys like Charles Barkley that didn't win in the playoffs, that everybody talks about how many titles you won or things like that. But again, for whatever reason, this modern era of basketball, which really became popular with Magic and Bird, when they put the emphasis on champions defining your success, because nobody's ever really looked at baseball and said, well, you know, Hank Aaron had one World Series title and Babe Ruth had 10 World Series titles, so Babe Ruth's better, but we do this with basketball. And it's not so much about the defense of Michael Jordan. I believe it was really the attack of Michael Jordan. Because if you'll remember, it was Larry and Magic, and then in came Jordan. And Jordan really popped in 84 at the Olympics. Then he gets drafted. Then early in his career, he plays Boston in a five-game series and is dropping 60 points a night. And it's like, holy crap. I think Larry Bird, the quote that he had was, that wasn't Michael Jordan. That was God disguised as Michael Jordan. And then I think there were a lot of people that were like, hey, this Jordan, he might be better than Larry and Magic. And there were people out there that were like, oh, how dare you say he might be better than Larry Bird or Magic Johnson? And so the attack on Michael Jordan for a long time was Larry Bird and Magic Johnson win championships and Michael Jordan wins scoring titles. That was the attack on Michael Jordan. Well, then Michael Jordan won six titles. And now the defense of Jordan is about the titles. But that's what basketball is about. So until the Grizzlies start to look like a team that's either going to win a title or does win a title, I just don't see it mattering here to the people of Nashville. I mean, I never go anywhere, and I mean this in total sincerity, and I never go anywhere where someone's like, hey, what do you think about what went down with the Grizzlies today? Never. Unless Ja Morant's getting suspended for brandishing guns on Instagram. One texter says, the reason the NBA sucks is because all they do is shoot threes and layups. It's boring to watch. The game has become too efficient. It is a boring game. And what's tough about the NBA is, like, I don't know about you guys, because I used to love basketball. Like, I used to love Jordan back in the day. And then after Jordan, TD and I think we're talking about this on the air. We were definitely talking about this off the air. Like, I was a very anti-Kobe Bryant guy. I was a very anti-Kobe Shaq Lakers. I used to root against them. I think it's because when they won their first title, they beat Portland in seven games in the Western Conference Final, and Scottie Pippen was on Portland. And so I think as a Bulls fan and a Jordan fan, I was rooting for Scottie, and that's why I was against Kobe and Shaq. And from that moment on, I always was rooting against Kobe and Shaq. Those games they used to play against Sacramento with Chris Webber and Vlade Divac and Mike Bibby and Doug Christie and Peja Stojakovic and Hedo Turkoglu, those were wars. Now, it's a little disappointing because when you look back on it, the books were cooked in favor of the Lakers with the Tim Donaghy scandal and everything else. But, I mean, that was basketball where it was like, all right, game comes on 7 o'clock tonight. Tune in. Now, I just don't, there's not any, you know, there's just not any juice like that anymore in the game. And even the best series in basketball, they're not wars anymore. Again, I kind of feel like basketball died a little bit after that LeBron James Golden State 7-game series, with the Golden State had the record for the most wins in a regular season, and they went to 7 games, and LeBron had the block and Kyrie had the shot. And ever since then, it just kind of feels like basketball's just been like, nah. And maybe it is all the three-point shooting. I do not like I just find the game sometimes when I watch them just to be too boring. Ryan says, more people care about the Grizzlies here than you think. I need some proof of that. Like, I don't feel the need to talk Grizzlies on the air, because I don't think it moves the needle one way or another. What do you think, Reed? Do you think that we don't talk enough Grizzlies?
I think we just talk too much Grizzlies.
Just in the last 10 minutes?
In the last 10 minutes.
And I'll say the same thing about the Atlanta Braves. And I know we're partners with the Braves, and I love them, and I'm depressed at how crappy they are this year. And, you know, again, Gwinnett's playing today, and Ian Anderson's pitching, and I don't usually grab the other team's roster. If you're looking at the stream, I have it in front of me. I usually don't grab the other team's roster because, you know, who cares who's on the other team? But I wanted to see which Braves players were on this team, you know, whatever. I don't think talking about the Braves is great for business. I think it's more Titans. Titans, Vols, Predators, SEC, and that's pretty much it. And then whatever big story happens across the country, people always have an opinion on that one way or another. 615-737-1025. Big news in the NFL. We'll hit on that next. Stillman & Company, live from First Horizon Park, 1025, 106.3 The Game.
We have some breaking news rippling throughout the land of the NFL. What we've been anticipating for what feels like months now is finally going to happen. According to the NFL Network insiders, Aaron Rodgers is finally heading to Pittsburgh. Welcome into our NFL Network coverage in the NFL Network newsroom. Steve Weich, I'm Omar Reese, and one of those insiders, Tom Pelissero, is here. Tom, break it down for us. How did this happen and why now?
Well, you're right, Omar. This is something that the Steelers had been focused on for months. And as much as Aaron Rodgers mulled his options, including retirement, including potential other playing options, it had been apparent for a couple months that if he was going to play, it was going to be in Pittsburgh. So what I can tell you today is that Aaron Rodgers now plans to fly on Friday to Pittsburgh, finalize and sign his contract, and be on the field for next week's mandatory minicamp.
There you go. That was Tom Pelissero with the breaking news that Aaron Rodgers is signing with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now, let me be completely transparent with everybody when it comes to Aaron Rodgers signing with the Steelers. We knew this was going to happen. Aaron had hinted that this was going to happen. And at the same time, the Steelers had been on record, their owner, saying it's probably going to happen. So while when there's a big signing, like a big Aaron Rodgers traded here or this team signs this quarterback, it's usually when it's like real true breaking news. It's along the lines of Luka Doncic being traded to the Lakers in the middle of the night when my son woke up. You know, he was a 2-month infant at the time, and he wakes up, you know, all throughout the night. We change him, feed him, change him, feed him, change him, feed him. He wakes up at like 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm going to New Orleans for the Super Bowl the next day. And before I go back to bed, I just look at my phone and I see that, wait a minute, Luka Doncic, and I'm not even an NBA guy. You all know that. Luka Doncic just got traded for Anthony Davis. And I'm like, what? You know, that to me is real breaking news, where it's like, oh my God, can you believe it? Oh my God, what do we do? What do we do? What do we do? Breaking news. This had been kind of expected. So it's not like I have a bunch of like takes lined up and be like, okay, how does this change the NFL? I don't have it. We've known since before the draft that Aaron was going to the Steelers. Now it's just officially official that Aaron has decided to get off his ass. I think it's no accident. Aaron didn't want to go to the OTAs, and which, again, is more of an Aaron problem than it is anything else. You know, you do need to learn your new players. You do need to learn a new playbook. But Aaron didn't want to go to the OTAs, so Aaron just waited until OTAs were over, and then he signed for the minicamp. And it's going to be 1 year, $20 million. Now, first of all, here's how I already know that everybody knew Aaron was signing there. The Steelers play Green Bay on Sunday Night Football. On October 26th, Green Bay-Pittsburgh Sunday Night Football. I mean, come on now. That said, week one at the Jets, 1 p.m. CBS. Yeah, go ahead and move that one. I know, you've got good games the first. Go ahead, put Aaron and the Jets on so that everybody can watch it. I'm just going through, just combing through the Steelers schedule, and I'm trying to see if there are any other games that I'm like, oh my God, this has got to be prime time now. At the Chargers is already Sunday Night Football. Cincy, 1 p.m., probably move that one. It changes the one problem that I have had when it comes to the Steelers, which is I have found them very boring. Now I no longer do. That's it for us. We're out of here. Stillman and Company. We'll see everybody tomorrow, too.